Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, that would sure make our Canadian friends happy. I know we got some great listeners in Saskatchewan on the other side of the border. I know we got some great listeners in Alberta on the other side of the border of Montana. Man, I know this would make them happy. This was kind of just a surprise to me, at least, because I, you know, don't too closely follow Canadian elections. But the New York Times, of all places, this is for your random start this morning at 4:48 this morning, Montana time. The New York Times sent out this breaking news alert. Justin Trudeau, Canada's unpopular prime minister. The fact that the New York Times is referring to him as an unpopular prime minister is a breaking news alert in itself. But anyway, the New York Times here, Justin Trudeau, Canada's unpopular prime minister, is likely to face more pressure to quit after his party lost a long-held parliament seat. Anyway, I don't pay for the New York Times, but I got that breaking news alert, and that's the only headline I needed to see right there when it comes to Canada this morning. Man, wouldn't that be a welcome relief for our friends in Canada to get rid of Justin Trudeau? It was funny. I was in Whitefish recently, and you know, we were doing these events. We were doing some of our Bidenomics events, and what else was it? Oh yeah, that's right. We had it was the day after the Trump rally in Bozeman because we had the Trump rally in Bozeman, and then the next day we had the rally with Jim Jordan that Congressman Ryan Zinke put on in Kalispell at that incredible baseball stadium up there in Kalispell, the home of the Range Riders. And anyway, so I was already planning on going to Kalispell for the Jim Jordan rally, and then the Donald Trump rally happens in Bozeman. So of course I hit that on the way up. But it was kind of funny because I'm in the hallway and ended up BSing with these Canadians, and they were young, you know, a young group of Canadians, and they were like, well, what are you doing here? And I said, well, where are you guys from? They're like, oh, we're from Calgary. I said, oh, okay, cool. I said, they said, well, what are you doing here in Whitefish? I said, I'm kind of basically here for work. I said, you know, I was at the Trump rally last night. And these young ladies from Calgary were like, oh, no way, that would be so cool. And I won't try to duplicate their Canadian accents, but they were like, oh, that'd be so cool to go to a Trump rally. Oh, my goodness. And I was like, you guys got to get rid of Justin Trudeau. What the heck's going on up there? And they're like, yeah, I know, it's crazy. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. And now, yeah, this breaking news that even the New York Times is suggesting that Justin Trudeau should step down as the pretty little prime minister of Canada. All right, let's see, back to the American elections, back to the Montana elections here. Now that old Fussy Bussy, the gun-grabbing Democrat candidate for governor, he's behind like 20-some-odd points in the polls. He's polling worse than Kamala Harris in Montana. I think of all the statewide candidates, he's polling the worst. He's polling even worse than Kamala Harris. But they're going to have a debate because he finally decided to release his tax returns. So anyway, there was a funny response here by Jake Eaton, conservative political consultant, also the campaign manager for Governor Greg Gianforte. We'll start there after this.
Securing America.
The House Armed Services Committee held a remote hearing Monday in California's Silicon Valley to address a specific problem. Republican Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers.
Why does the DOD continue to struggle with rapidly developing, scaling, and delivering innovation to our warfighters?
Democratic Congressman Adam Smith of Washington agreed with Rogers and cited history as an important lesson.
Whoever gets there first on the new technology has an enormous advantage, and that's been true for as long as human civilization has existed and tried to defend itself against their adversaries.
Several industry experts also testified the Pentagon moves too slowly. Scadio President Mark Valentine, whose company is the country's largest drone manufacturer, claimed the military is very behind in developing its drone system and needs to change.
Failure to do so is going to result in not enough drones when they're needed.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sun and some developing clouds today, shower and storm chances build in this afternoon, especially in the Bozeman area. Highs from 67 in Bozeman to about 81 in Billings. For tonight, showers and a few storms expected around the region. Lows from the mid-40s in Bozeman to 53 in Billings. Then rain is likely on Wednesday, with highs from the mid-50s to the low-60s. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, where did I put it? I think I printed out. I know last week I told you about these poll numbers from the AARP, you know, the left-wing lobby shop. AARP released some poll results specific to Montana. And when I saw the press release announcing that AARP Montana was going to, you know, release a poll, I thought, oh, great, here we go. The liberal outfit releasing a poll. You know, and I was like, oh, man. Apparently, they released honest poll results. Apparently, they didn't try to skew the results here to make the Democrats look good. Now, unless they try to release another poll 3 weeks from now on the eve of the election, oh, look at this massive turnaround. Then you'll be like, oh, okay, I see what you guys did there. But anyway, it showed, if I remember right, I haven't gone through my stack of stuff here, but if I remember right, the AARP poll showed Kamala Harris with 41% support in Montana. 41% support in Montana. Ryan Bussey, old Fussy Bussey, the gun-grabbing Democrat candidate for governor, is only at 38%. And so, which is just kind of funny because you think about it. Okay, so, you know, Kamala Harris wants to take away your guns. She's against the Second Amendment. So is Fussy Bussy. But why is Fussy Bussy the one that's getting so hammered in the polls, even more so than Kamala Harris is in Montana, right? I don't know. It's just kind of funny when you think about it. But anyway, the news is that I think he was at like 38%, if I remember right. I was trying to do a delay a game penalty here while I scroll through my stack of stuff to see where I printed up those poll results. But it's probably buried in here somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember it right here. I do know for sure that Kamala Harris was outpolling Ryan Bussey. So they've now agreed to a debate in the governor's race here in Montana, as we all expected would happen. There's always debates in these major races, even if there isn't a major candidate from the Democrat Party in the race, there's still a debate. And you remember the back and forth was that, okay, hey, Governor Greg Gianforte has released several years of tax returns. And this Ryan Bussey guy, who has been bought and paid for by these gun control groups, he was paid by the state of California to testify in support of one of their gun control measures, one of their gun grabbing measures, and he was refusing to release his tax returns. So Governor Greg Gianforte's campaign basically said, look, until you want to, you know, act like and prove that you're a serious candidate, you know, why don't you release your tax returns? And then we'll talk about having a debate. But why do you want to debate a serious governor if you can't even act like a serious candidate? So eventually, Bussey was finally forced to release his tax returns, which show that this Bussey guy is not some old poor working class guy that he pretends to be in his campaign commercials. Bussey was talking trash. Oh, you know, Bussey calls Gianforte's bluff. The governor folds because they're now going to have a debate. Apparently, the nonstop local TV stations are going to be the ones that will be hosting this debate. And now the the Montana television network stations, which have been used as a tool of old Fussy Bussy's failed campaign. They're mad that they don't get to host a debate because for decades they've always hosted a governor's debate, but they are not hosting one as of yet because they've basically proven a few different times that this is my opinion here that they are basically being used as an outlet for Bussy's campaign. Bussy's campaign manager used to work for the Montana Television Network, but apparently he still seems to be calling shots over there on some stuff. But anyway, so Fussy Bussy, this is taking way too long. My goodness, it's a good thing it's only 6:17 in the morning. So Fussy Bussy is trying to talk tough. He's getting outpolled even by Kamala Harris in Montana. He's claiming that he called Governor Gianforte's bluff and that the governor folded. And Jake Eaton, the governor's campaign manager, says this. Comedy. The guy losing by 20 points with only $234K in the bank is pretending he's winning because we kept our word and agreed to a debate once he finally caved and released his taxes. So there you go. There you go. That's the latest on the governor's race. You know, there's so many big elections that are going on here in Montana this November that... Yeah, the governor's race, the governor's campaign is a race that we just haven't talked about that much because, frankly, there's much bigger fish to fry. Bigger fish to fry, obviously, we're talking about the U.S. Senate race, and we're talking about, you know, so many other things, the Supreme Court elections here in Montana. We've talked several times about the importance of supporting the, at least in our opinion, you can make up your own mind, the Sons of Montana, Corey Swanson. The Iraq War veteran and a Broadwater County attorney who's running for the Chief Justice seat. One of the sons of Montana, Corey Swanson. The other son of Montana, Dan Wilson, Judge Dan Wilson out of Flathead County. Just an incredible guy, an incredible judge. Great. And if you've never met either one of these guys, you've got to go to one of their events and just meet them and say hi. The other big fish to fry are these outrageous constitutional initiatives on our ballot, including the Radical Abortion Initiative, CI-128. We've got a full legal analysis of CI-128 on our Montana Talks website right now.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Nordlund. Well, if you visited westernagnetwork.com, you may have read about black shirt feeders located near Hagler, Nebraska. And for you Nebraska Cornhusker fans, you may understand that the name Black Shirt Feeders is a nod to the football team's defense. But the feedlot team at Black Shirt is doing everything to be proactive rather than on the defense. Our network's Rachel Gable caught up with Dr. Eric Belke, who founded the Yards.
Belke grew up a few miles north of nearby Bankelman on a cow-calf operation before earning his first doctoral degree in ruminant nutrition from his beloved UNL. His second doctoral degree in veterinary medicine was earned at Iowa State. For 14 years, he's traveled the nation and world as a consultant.
I had actually just returned from a trip to Kazakhstan and was planting corn when the idea for Black Shirt Feeders was hatched. And because I, you know, just gotten back from a trip all around the world and literally in the corn planter and looked around southwestern Nebraska, and I was like, they are feeding cattle all over this globe. And look at this absolutely amazing spot right here. Why is there not a large feedlot in western Nebraska?
6 years after that crop and just over a year after breaking ground, the yard is about to accept their first loads of cattle. At capacity, Black Shirt will feed 150,000 head of cattle with about 125 employees, with 50,000 cattle on feed at the end of 2024 with about 50 employees. He anticipates a $366 million economic impact annually in the four-county area. The annual gross sales of livestock is currently about $525 million annually. Adding Black Shirt's estimated gross sales will inject about a 70% increase.
Thanks, Rachel. She'll have more on Black Shirt feeders during our midday Ag Report.
At Ag West, we know agriculture isn't just a business. It's a way of life. So we're here to help operations succeed for generations to come by supporting our customer members and the rural communities where we live and work. From small family businesses to large operations, AgWest brings the experience and financial know-how to help you grow your best future. Find out how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Preconditioning is one of the most important times of the year, and Western Ranch Supply is here for all your fall needs. From Rice Lake scales, silencer hydraulic chutes, cake heaters, portable loading chutes, and bale beds. Western Ranch also carries the best fall vaccines and pour-ons necessary for a healthy herd. We can deliver everything straight to your ranch. Call us today, 800-548-7270, or visit one of our three locations in Billings and Great Falls.
It is a busy week for the Western Ag Network crew. First, Russell Nimitz and our videographer Paul Humphrey are en route to Grand Junction, Colorado for the 2024 National Public Lands Council meeting, joining cattle and sheep producers who graze on the nation's federal lands. They will be speaking with those key stakeholders along with agency officials and more on all the issues impacting public lands grazing. As for myself, I'm heading to central Montana. In fact, the hometown where I grew up, Lewistown, Montana. I'll be heading there for the 2024 Montana Angus Tour with participants heading to central Montana from all across the nation and, in fact, the world. But they better be bringing a rain jacket and maybe some muck boots to go look at all these great cattle in central Montana, as the weather forecast is going to be wet. Tune into this radio dial or our Western Ag Network social media channels for more on all the events we're covering this week. I'm Lee Northlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I was scrolling through the news yesterday afternoon and obviously seeing a lot of news and commentary on President Trump surviving a second assassination attempt. Jesse Waters had a great program last night, and he raised a very important question. You know, I saw this meme on Facebook that said, isn't it crazy to think that 6 years from now, the 1980s are going to be 50 years ago. I know. 6 years from now, the 1980s are going to be 50 years ago. That's making me feel old. That's for sure. Or at least 6 years from now, I'll be feeling old if I, you know, I'm not feeling old already. But think about it. You know, when was the last time a president of the United States survived an assassination attempt? Not just one, but two. Anyway, I'm scrolling through the news, and I'll get to the Jesse Waters audio here in a second, because it's must-hear audio this morning. But first, I'm scrolling through the news, and I see this Breitbart News headline, and they've got a clip from CNN. Former FBI agent to CNN. Verbiage about Trump being a dictator led to attempts on his life. Jeff Poor with Breitbart News writes this. Sunday, during CNN's coverage of a second attempted assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, former FBI counterterrorism agent Tim Clemente told host Aaron Burnett that finger-pointing at Trump, including claims that his verbiage about a bloodbath for the auto industry if his Democrat opponent wins, misconstrued to bolster claims of violence if he didn't win, was likely a motivation for the accused assassin. So basically, the rhetoric that the left is using, particularly where they call Trump Hitler, they call him a fascist, they say, you know, all the evil that's going to happen if Donald Trump gets back in the White House, even though the American people saw all the good that happened with Donald Trump in the White House, they're saying that is why we keep seeing these attempts on his life. Here you go. This is former FBI counterterrorism agent Tim Clemente.
And sadly, the finger pointing at Trump has led to, you know, the line about the bloodbath, talking about the auto industry being used as if he's going to create a bloody coup if he loses. That kind of verbiage is something you use in a third world country when you're talking about a dictator. And that sadly has led to, I think, these attempts on Trump's life. And I don't think it's going to.
Yeah. And so in other words, the lies that the media, including ABC fake news, the lies that even they used or the fact checks they refused to conduct during that latest debate, that is why we continue to see these attempts on President Trump's life. By the way, the reason that also caught my eye is that FBI, the former FBI counterterrorism agent, Tim Clemente, lives in Livingston, Montana. We just saw him in Livingston, had him on the show when we were there. Get to the Jesse Waters audio in a second here. Plus, you heard a soundbite from President Trump talking about this second assassination attempt on his life. But we've actually got the audio, the full audio from the Trump War Room, where he shares the full story of this second assassination attempt. So I'll try to sneak that one in there as well. First, though, let's get into your phone calls. We've got Tim in Billings first up this morning.
Tim, great
to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. I find it interesting, the flyers I keep getting in the mail that are attacking the Sons of Montana are coming from the ACLU. And honestly, if you're being attacked by the ACLU or the Southern Poverty Law Center or any of these other radical leftist organizations, that should be a real badge of honor. And I know everybody's really focused on Tim Sheehy's race, and you know, and that's extremely important. But I am not educated enough to figure out how to do it, but I think there should be a deep dive into what does the spending look like on this Supreme Court races that are going on in Montana? Because I'm seeing television ads for the, you know, of course it's nonpartisan, but for the liberal candidates, they're getting television commercials paid for. They're getting flyers. The more conservative candidates are being outspent. I'm sure it's 10-1.
They've got, yeah, it's got to be a big number of outsized spending. I've seen some flyers. Yeah. I've seen some mailers for the conservative judges. But, yeah, but no, I've gotten those ACLU mailers as well, which I have to kind of laugh at. Like, how dumb is the political consultants for the ACLU to be sending those mailers to people like me and you? Right? Like,
right,
like they should have enough data to know that, huh? Because what have you noticed? What's their attack? Their attack is that well, Judge Wilson and Corey Swanson are supported by these pro-life groups, and the other candidates are supported by these pro-abortion groups. And it's so basically the ACLU is sending mailers out to conservative households telling them that, hey, if you're pro-life, you should vote for justice for Judge Dan Wilson, and you should vote for Corey Swanson. It's just kind of like not a very smart move by the ACLU. But then again, maybe they figure they have so much left wing dark money to throw around that they can just throw it around all across the board. I don't know.
They're used to government spending. They're used to having the government to spend all their money. So it's, you know, a never-ending supply. That makes me wonder, and I've asked this before, I don't respond to the polls and stuff because I figure if they don't know where I stand, maybe they'll keep wasting their money here in my house, in my mailbox, whatever.
Instead of trying to reach undecided voters or something like that. Yeah, no, good point. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Got to hit the hard break here. And then we got Steve and Valentine next up on the phone lines. 406-294-0970 is the number for you, or message us on the Montana Talks app.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Sprague. Gallatin County authorities continue to investigate whether carbon monoxide poisoning may have been the factor that led to the weekend deaths of three people. Bozeman police had found the man and two women inside a garage in the 3000 block of North 27th. The initial information is that the trio might have been overcome by fumes, but the Gallatin County Sheriff Coroner is doing a full investigation to be certain. The National Transportation Safety Board is taking over the investigation of a weekend helicopter crash in central Montana that endangered three people. The Jefferson County Sheriff had reported the privately owned helicopter went down in a remote area in the northwestern part of the county. The agency has confirmed all three of the people on board the helicopter survived, thanks to the help of emergency teams out of the Boulder area with some help from the U.S. Forest Service. While some prices for items like groceries remain high or even going up again, Montana gas prices are headed in the right direction. And in fact, they just took their biggest drop of the year. Nick Christensen checks the latest prices.
The latest survey from GasBuddy.com shows more good news for Montana drivers. With the average price per gallon falling about 7.6 cents a gallon in the past week, that continues a trend of dropping prices that we've seen since mid-summer. If you fill up today, you'll pay an average of $3.32 per gallon, which is 17 cents a gallon lower than last month and more than 86 cents a gallon cheaper than last September. In fact, the cheapest station in Montana was only charging $3.07 per gallon. In 2016, right before that year's election, the average Montana price was just $2.35 a gallon and $3.57 10 years ago. Nick Christensen, Montana News Network.
Governor Greg Gianforte declaring a disaster for three Montana communities, opening the way for the state to use its general funds to offset the unexpected local costs. The two executive orders are related to severe thunderstorms in Hamilton, Stevensville, and Miles City this summer. This is the Montana State News Network.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figuerella uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go right back into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Well, last night was a night that just wasn't going well on my part. I mean, it could have had a different night. It just, everything seemed to be going a little bit south. And I had to stop at a gas station to get some gas. And I pulled in there and pulled behind his vehicle, the van, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And I put my card in the pump and go to get, you know, get the gas. And by the way, I'm wearing my farm bibs and all that. So, you know, anyway, so I pulled my card out and the pump kept saying, remove your card. And I'm like, well, I got it out. It's already in my wallet. And it keeps flashing this, you know, remove your card.
I've had that same problem. It's like, what the heck? Come on. It's like.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I'm so frustrated. I took, you know, because I had a bad night anyway, took my fist and started hitting that right where the card goes in there. And I'm kind of being a little loud, like, it isn't in there, you know? And this gal stops, older gal, she stops and she's staring at me while I'm beating this pump a little bit. And I just says, well, it's in my wallet. And then all of a sudden I was able to pump gas. Well, then I look at the van in front of me and I'm staring at it. I'm like, oh, it's an Arizona license plate. So the gentleman that was pumping the fuel in his vehicle, I looked at him and go, you do know this is a red state, right? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, but I ain't voting red. Aaron, that just put me off the deep end. I mean, I'm not having a good night anyway. And I just started telling him a few things and he's looking at me and had this grin on his face I'll never forget. Grin on his face, and I hit him with boys and girls locker rooms and the price of fuel and the price of groceries. And this is what we're fighting against. His reply back on the price of groceries, he goes, that's why I buy my groceries in August. And I'm like, Did I just hear right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Did I just hear right? And I go, what did you say? And he goes, well, that's why I buy my groceries in August. And it went on a little bit more, and there was some really lush words being said, and the grin never left his face. I went into the store, came back out with some Doritos, and he still was grinning. Well, then I go to get in my car, and I looked on the bottom of his van, and it says, Bernie. And I just opened up my doors. I drove by, and I go, there you go, Bernie. And I just drove
He's a
off.
Bernie bro, yeah. You know, that's interesting what you said about the – so, yeah, talking with Democrat voters about grocery prices and inflation – yeah, because they really have no answer for it. The one answer that they always try to settle on, because, yeah, I've been talking with all sorts of folks all across Montana when we've been doing these Americans for Prosperity Montana events. And so you run into all sorts of random folks. And I'm not trying to get in arguments or pick fights with anybody when we do this, because, you know, we're out in front of a restaurant or a business and unlike those obnoxious signature gatherers, yeah, we're not there to annoy people or pick fights with people. And so, but we want to have conversations with them. And so I would always ask these people, I'd say, well, why do you think grocery prices are, or when I would talk about the inflation numbers, they would reply, well, it's these greedy corporations. That's why. It's these greedy grocery stores. That's why the price of groceries is up so much. And I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, if it's the greedy corporations, as you say, or these greedy small businesses, because, you know, not all grocery stores are corporately owned necessarily. If so, why are they so greedy now under Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and John Tester? Why weren't they greedy or this greedy when Donald Trump was the president? Right. So they're only greedy when Democrats are in charge, I guess. But they weren't greedy when Trump was in charge, and they just kind of growl at you after that. But it's because there's no answer. They have no answer for why things have been as bad as they've been in the last 3.5 years under the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, John Tester regime. Steve, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Speaking of those names that I just mentioned, I did finally find those poll numbers. I guess I thought I had printed it up earlier, but I must not have. But I did just print them up now, so I'll grab those for you here in just a second. First, though, I told you I was going to play this audio. Jesse Waters last night, his segment talking about how now we have a second assassination attempt against President Trump. And in Waters, anyway, he makes a great point. Let me just roll it for you.
The Biden-Harris administration, they're in charge of protecting that perimeter, and they've failed twice. Biden still doesn't seem angry about it and hasn't fired a soul.
Do you have any more information on the assassination?
I think thank God the president's okay. I think we got a full report so far. We're down there tonight. But one thing I want to make clear, the service needs more help. And I think the Congress should respond to their needs if they, in fact, need more services. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Biden's Secret Service almost got Trump killed twice, but the man's blaming Congress. Since when does Biden not have enough money? He spends trillions of dollars like it's nothing and spends it on nonsense. And when they need more money, they just print it. Is the Secret Service penny-pinching to protect Trump's life? They seem to be able to protect Biden fine when he's passed out on a public beach for 4 hours. Kamala Harris is riding around in rural Georgia in a bus painted Kamala for president. She's protected. Secret Service protected Barack Obama for 8 years, and then 8 years after. He golfed almost every weekend. No one took a shot at Barack at his rallies either. He was swimming in the Pacific. Secret Service had no problems. Bush was riding his bike all over Texas. No attempts on his life. Bill Clinton jogged through Washington, the murder capital of the world. Nothing ever happened. Secret Service can protect presidents. They just can't protect this president. And the question is, why?
Yeah, great question there by Jesse Waters. By the way, that FBI agent that I referenced earlier that lives in Livingston, Montana, who was on CNN over the weekend, he's going to join us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show after our 7:10 break. So you want to stick around for that conversation. It'd be great to catch up with him once again. President Trump shares the story of this second assassination attempt. Here's part of the audio from the Trump War Room.
So I was playing golf with some of my friends. It was on a Sunday morning and very peaceful, very beautiful weather. Everything was beautiful. It was a nice place to be. And all of a sudden we heard shots being fired in the air. And I guess probably 4 or 5. And it sounded like bullets. But what do I know about that? The Secret Service knew immediately it was bullets. And they grabbed me and... I think probably the other one, Steve, is one of the people, Steve Witkoff, a great friend of mine, a great great businessman from mostly New York and Florida, great businessman, and more importantly, just a fantastic person. So we're in the group, and everybody just, we got into the carts, and we moved along pretty good. I was with an agent, and the agent did a fantastic job. There was no question that we were off that course. I would have loved to have sank that last putt, but we decided we'd just get out of here. And what the gunfire was actually, interestingly, was a Secret Service agent had seen a barrel of a AK-47, which is a very powerful gun, rifle, and he started shooting at the barrel, started shooting in the bushes.
Wow.
Could only see the barrel. How good is that, right? But could only see the barrel. Based on that, he started shooting. And ran toward the target and was shooting a lot of, I mean, those were the shots we heard. The other one never got a shot off. And he ran across the street and grabbed his car, hopped into his truck or car. And amazingly, a civilian in that area saw something and it looked very suspicious. And in the car, drove their car to the back of his truck of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And took pictures of the license plate, gave wow. them to the sheriff's office. Sheriff Bradshaw is fantastic, very great sheriff for a long time. And within a fairly short period of time, they tracked him down on the highway. It was a pretty high-speed chase.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up getting him. They got him.
Wow.
You wouldn't want to have somebody like that out there.
No.
You know, he dropped his gun, the AK-47. He left his gun. He left cameras behind, left a lot of things behind. So the agent did a fantastic job. The civilian did a phenomenal job. A woman. I mean, who would think you could take 1,000 times like that? How many people would have the brain power to follow him and take pictures of the back of his truck?
All right. Yeah, that was full audio, by the way, on the Trump War Room on X. I think I shared it as well. X.com/Aaron Flint. Back after this.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, the media, they're actually blaming Donald Trump. Oh, it's his. Oh, is he going to calm down his rhetoric now? I'm like, what? What? This is so sick. They're so ugly. This accused gunman hid in this sniper's nest for 12 hours. Before he was spotted in what seemed like the moment before he was about to pull the trigger. These two recent attempts on Trump's life follow a long list of prominent Democrats. Well, they've called for Trump's assassination. You know, I think an awful lot about blowing up the White House. You know, or how many Democrats have called President Trump the second coming of Adolf Hitler.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, remember the old way of shopping for custom window treatments, waiting around all day just to get an overpriced quote from a commission pushy salesperson? Well, those days are over because Blinds.com invented the better way to shop for custom window treatments. Now, with completely virtual consultations, you're never going to have to deal with a salesperson in your home ever again. And whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or you prefer to use professional installation services, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver top-quality window treatments. And that means premium woven wood to motorized shades. They're my favorite and much more. You get unlimited custom window treatments installed, all for one low cost. And at Blinds.com, there are never any hidden fees, no showroom markups. The price you see on the website is the price you pay. And with Blinds.com, they have the 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you're not happy with the style, the color, the fit, they're going to work it out for you. Shop at Blinds.com right now. Get up to 45% off. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Lavage, NAVAGE, breathe easy.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
By the way, hey, yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, as we talk about President Trump surviving a second assassination attempt. So yesterday in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show, I ended up catching up with Carrie White. Carrie White is the executive director for Citizens for Balanced Use, an incredible organization fighting for your access to public lands. You know, as the Democrats and these radical environmental groups constantly try to, you know, shut down your favorite trail, close your favorite road to access your favorite hunting spot. You name it, CBU is one of those organizations that's standing up and fighting for you. But I wanted to catch up with Carrie White to talk about this news out of North Dakota, where basically Tracy Stone Manning, this eco-terrorist in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, Tracy Stone Manning is the eco-terrorist who is in charge of the U.S. BLM. And she was a former staffer to liberal Senator John Tester. She's an environmental wacko. She's anti-mining. And she's been given perks to the American Prairie Reserve at the expense of Montana ranchers because she wants to kick the ranchers off the land and have her liberal elite buddies running the land here in Montana. And so, but in North Dakota, she basically effectively signed off on this new resource management plan that effectively shuts down all coal mining on what was it, like 99% of the land in North Dakota. So we were talking with Carrie White about that, but then we ended up having a great conversation talking about, you know, the political rhetoric out there and this second assassination attempt on President Trump. Carrie White, he was listening in earlier in the morning. He heard when I played the Lindsey Graham soundbite, a great soundbite from Lindsey Graham talking about President Trump's reaction to the second assassination attempt on his life. Senator J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate, was in Atlanta, Georgia, and shared a similar conversation. He had a phone call with President Trump. And he talked about it while speaking at the Georgia Faith and Freedom Coalition Victory Dinner in Atlanta, Georgia. Here's part of what Ohio Senator J.D. Vance had to say.
He says, no, I was playing golf, and the Secret Service found somebody who was trying to shoot me. And I say, oh, my Lord, sir, I'm so glad you're okay. I mean, are you doing okay? Are you not just physically okay, but everything's fine? He said, yeah, I'm doing fine. And this is just who Donald Trump is.
Yeah, that's just who he is. Look, you know, unfortunately, this was one of the things that Carrie White and I talked about. Unfortunately, you're going to be in this line of work. You're going to face threats. You're going to face intimidation, whether you're doing a simple radio show like this, whether you're serving in the state legislature, heck, whether your mom is serving in the state legislature. I've talked with family members of state lawmakers here in Montana, and their kids have faced threats, and their spouses have faced threats. Unfortunately, that's just, you know, what has happened. But what we're seeing with President Donald Trump is where the media now, you know, so many in the mainstream media are downplaying not just threats against Donald J. Trump, but actual attempts on his life, not just once, but twice now. They downplay it. And then they try to somehow shift the blame to Donald J. Trump himself. The DailyWire.com has a great piece this morning. The Trump team brings the receipts. 50-plus times the Democrats and the liberal media used extreme rhetoric about President Donald Trump. In fact, old Hillary Clinton is back in the news. Hillary Clinton, this is after another assassination attempt against Trump.
And I don't understand why it's so difficult for the press to have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is. you know, the late, great journalist, Harry Evans, you know, one time said that, you know, journalists should, you know, really try to achieve objectivity. And by that, he said, I mean, they should cover the object. Well,
all right. I got to get to the worst part, but I'm short on time, so we'll play.